We begin the current daf from Saksubis, daf Tezayin. We begin on the third line from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins discussing the Mishnah that opened up this parak, the second parak in the Saksubis, parak Isha Shinis Amalo. Now, the Mishnah spoke about a case when a woman is either widowed or divorced, she wants to collect her ksuba, and however, the document itself is lost. So she claims, you married me as a basula, and hence, obviously, it was probably written in the ksuba like that too, that you owe me 200 zuz. He says, no, what are you talking about? You were widowed, and then I married you, and therefore the ksuba is only 100. So it's he says, she says, and there's no document to prove it. So the Mishnah said that if there are witnesses that can verify certain phenomena that happen at a wedding of a besula, for example, yatsa behinumo, or she has her hair down to her shoulders, or maybe even throwing these type of roasted grain, which they would do by the marriage of a besula, then that verifies, obviously, she was a besula, and then they would have to give her a ksuba of 200 zuz. Now, on that, the Gemara makes the following inference. Taima deka edim. It sounds like the reason is because there are witnesses that can verify they were there at the wedding. They saw she went out with hinuma, as the Gemara will explain later what exactly hinuma mean, but that they're witnesses, and that's why she'll get the ksuba of 200. But it sounds like from the Mishnah, holeka edim, if there are no witnesses, it's just he says, she says, that Baal Mehemen, that the husband will be believed, in other words, at least believed regarding monetary law, that he'll say, look, it's hamitzah mechaveh al avarai. You want to prove that I owe you more than I'm claiming. You have to bring a proof. Now, the chiddush in that is that we do not say that, look, there's a certain doubt that we have, us Bezdin, regarding the day that she got married. Was she a besula then? Or was she a ba'ula then? Was she an almana or not? Now, there's a possibility that you would entertain to say that, look, every woman has a chazaka in her guf, that she was as she was always up until then, until we know something that's otherwise. Now, originally, every single girl is a basula. Now, the husband is claiming that she's a ba'ula. So we see that he's believed in spite of the fact that that runs contrary to her cheskes haguf, to the presumptuous state of every Jewish woman, until we know otherwise, that for sure she was an amana. Now, and still we believe the husband, in other words, at least that he doesn't have to pay up more than a mana to give masayim like she's claiming. So that the Gemara says, Lema Tanan Stamah, like Ramim Lil. Let's say that we have an anonymous Mishnah in our parak over here, the first Mishnah, that's seemingly not like Ramim Lil. Because Di Ramim Lil, Ha'amar I Mehemna, we had a series of Mishnayis and Machlekes in the first parak between Ramim Lil and Rabbi Yeshua regarding if we believe the woman in a debate with her husband. For example, in the case of Mishir Stani and Nasti, where they're debating what was she when they got engaged. He's saying, look, I don't find Basulim over here women consummated the relationship. She's like, you're right. But it was only after the engagement. He's saying, no, it was before the engagement. String Lil said that she's believed. She's believed to say it happened after their engagement. And the reason is because our suffix, again, is regarding the moment of engagement. Was she Basula or was she not? Now, as the Gemara explained over there, Lil holds that we go based on her cheskes haguf. The presumptuous state of this woman, until we know otherwise, was that she's a basula, as every girl is born in that way. And therefore, according to Lil, seemingly he would hold in the machlekes of our Mishnah of he says, she says, that we would believe her. We would believe her that when she got married, which is the time that we have a suffix, that she was a basula, as every girl is up until then. Now, in our Mishnah, it says that she's not believed unless there's a witnesses that can verify certain phenomena that the husband would be believed, seemingly not like Gamliel. So I think Gemara says, I feel a tamer Gamliel. You could even say that our Mishnah would even go according to Gamliel. Because at can come Gamliel Hassam, when did we have Gamliel saying that we believe the woman together with her cheskes haguf in the previous parak? That's Elaba Bar Veshema. That's only when she has a definitive claim. And he has a maybe, for example, the first of the series of the Mishnayos on Daf Yud Beis, where she said that, you're right, I know a consummate relationship, and I know you assumed that was going to be a besula, but Mishir Stan in Anasti, I was violated when we were engaged. Now, that's a definite claim. She knows what happened with her body, with herself. Now, he's saying, maybe. He's saying, I don't know that for sure. Maybe it's a Mekach Tais. Maybe that even before we got engaged, you were already a Be'ula. Now, he doesn't know when she was violated. So in such a case, when she's a Bari and he's a Shema, and she has a Cheskes Haguf, then Ramim Lil said that we'll believe her and that she will get what she's asking for. But in this case, she's a Bari, but he's also a Bari. He knows what she was like when she got married, and she also knows what she was like. She's like, hello, I was a Basula. He's like, it's not true, you're an Almana. So they're both coming with definite claims. So there, Ramim Lil didn't say that her Cheskes Haguf will define for us what she was like at the time of marriage. It's only together with the fact that it's a Bari Vishama, that he's only a Shema. But in this case, that he's a Bari Bari, then actually we would agree that we would not just believe her at, together with our Cheskes HaGuf, and we would require witnesses. Now, the Gemara asks, with the Ka'ari law, and the one who had asked this question, to say that it's seemingly our anonymous Mishnah in this parak is not like Gamliel, my Ka'ari law, what exactly did he entertain to think that this Mishnah is not like Gamliel? As we just explained, they're not similar at all. There was Bari Ushama, here it's Bari Ubari, so why would we think that it was not like Gamliel? As the Gemara says, who Bari Ubari, who it's a totally different case when they're both confident in what they're saying. So now the Gemara explains that it's because Kivin de Reib Noshim Misulis Nisses, because there's another factor that one has to consider here, and that is the majority of women that get married are Besulis. It's their first time getting married that they're Besulim. Now, because of that majority, it makes more sense to say that what she's saying is true more than what he's saying, because if she's claiming she's a Besulim, it makes sense. Most women getting married are Besulis. And therefore, you would think to say Kibari Vishem Adami, that it would be similar, although he's saying a definite claim, it's weaker than her claim. Hence, it would be the equivalent of what Rabbi Gamliel calls a Bari Vishema. And therefore, since our Mishnah says that we still don't believe her, it sounds like Nalag Gamliel, that's what the Chiddush is, that the Gemara answered that question. But the one who asked the question had a legitimate point in thinking it's Nalag Gamliel because it was similar in some level to Bari Vishema, because the majority tells us that she was a Basula, which goes together with her claim, making her more like a Bari and him more like a Shema. Now, the Gemara actually says, V'achinam Mistara. Our Gemara's conclusion that actually Rabbi Gamliel would agree to the halacha in our Mishnah, that it's not like the questioner had thought, not like him, that we believe the Baal, actually makes more sense midiktani, from the fact that our Mishnah concludes with a seemingly unrelated statement, which we had alluded to this comment at the end of the previous daf, that the Mishnah ends, Umayd Yerbishur, Bishur agrees, he admits. Now, Iyamrit Bishleima, I Rabbi Gamliel B'maydana, if you think, as the Gemara is concluding over here, that Rabbi Gamliel is agreeing that the beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Gamliel's admission to Rabbi Yeshua, and he's basically telling him and saying that, look, although in the previous parak in those Mishnayos I argued on you regarding when she's a Bari and he's a Shema, but I agree to you in this Mishnah when it's a case of Bari Ubari, as we just explained, where he's definite and she's definite, so I agree to you that we will not believe her, well then shop her. That makes sense why then the Mishnah continues with a seemingly unrelated statement from Yeshua where it says that Umayd Yeshua, the Yeshua agrees, who is he agreeing to? He's agreeing to Rabbi Gamliel. Regarding a case, as the Mishnah concludes of, where someone tells somebody that this field was your father's, but I purchased it from him, that person is believed. Now, what Rabbi Yeshua then is saying back to Gamliel is, look, you admit to me, and what we had argued in the previous parak, I want you to know that there's something that I agree to you also regarding what we had argued in the previous parak. And that is, although regarding the case of Mishar Stani Nenasti, when the husband gets up the morning after the wedding and he says, there's no Besulim. And she says, you're right. But when we were engaged, I had Besulim. It was only that after we were engaged, I was violated. Now, Rabbi Gamliel had said that we believe her, as the Gemara had explained, because there's additionally a Migui, where, as the Gemara will later on explain, because she could have said that I didn't even ever have be with anyone else. It's actually, I became a Mukas Eitz. And still, Rabbi Yeshua says that we don't believe her. Together with the fact that Zemigu doesn't make a difference. Now, that Rabbi Yeshua would be saying in our Mishnah that, okay, although I argue regarding that Migui, I agree with you regarding the Migui, what we call a Pesha Asa, who a Pesha Hita, like Rashi defines it as a Migui, as that, look, it's called Migui, which is literally translated as since. Since I could have been quiet, I didn't have to tell you anything that it was your father's field. Now, if I'm telling you that it was his field, but I purchased from him, then you believe me, as the Gemara will later on explain this logic, but it makes sense now. If the way we're concluding now that our mission is actually like Gamliel too, that he agrees because in the previous parak when we said that we believe her based on her Cheskes HaGuf, that was only when the case of that she's a Bari and he's only a Shema, that's how she can get the Ksuba that she's asking for. So that would make sense that he agrees to our Mishnah, where he's a Bari too, that we do not believe her. So essentially that our Mishnah is saying what Gamliel agrees to Rabbi Yeshua, although generally that Gamliel is the one that believes her and Yeshua is not, here Gamliel would agree that we do not believe her. So it makes sense the next half of the Mishnah where Rabbi Yeshua is telling Gamliel back, you know what, I also agree to you too. Although by Mishra Stani Nanasti, that although there's a Migu that she has, she could have said a better claim and she didn't that generally that gives you what's called a kayach ataina, that we believe you in what you're saying. Still, Rabbi Shua says we don't believe you. Here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shua says, Maidir Rabbi Shua agrees that such a migui of Pesha Hasa, that we believe. As we will explain why that's different than the other migui. But Eli'i Amrit Loi Ari, but if you think like the questioner of our Gemara, that says that the Reisha is not talking about with Rimlil being Maida, that Rimlil is agreeing, that our Mishnah is not like Rimlil, it's not that he's agreeing to Rabbi Shua in the Salacha, then Rabbi Shua Laman Maida, then what's the appropriateness of bringing in this halacha of Bishua being Maida regarding a Pesha Asa who Pesha Hitta, and what's it going on? It's seemingly irrelevant regarding the first half of the Mishnah that's talking about seemingly unrelated halacha. So what would it mean he's agreeing to? So obviously, like you say, like our Gemara was concluding that because he's agreeing to Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel said, I agree to you, Bishua said, you know what, there's something else, I agree to you too. So the Gemara says, no, it's no raya. Because me savored Rabbi Shua high perik and koi. Do you think Rabbi Shua, when he's talking in this Mishnah, is going on this perik, meaning on the first half of the Mishnah, which that's why you wanted to conclude? Obviously, it's Rimlil agreeing to Rabbi Shua, and then Rabbi Shua agreeing back to Rimlil. No, amigo koi. He's going on a concept, meaning the machloikis that he had with Rimlil in the first perik of migui va'apirik and kamakoi. He's going on the first perik, and he's saying that look. Although I argue on you regarding Migu in the first parak, but the Migu over here, I agree to you, as Gemara will later on explain, and therefore, it's not necessarily a raya that our mission is Rimlil agreeing to Bishua and then Bishua agreeing back to him. It's just going on the concept of Migui that I argued to you on the first parak, so now regarding that, I'll agree with you regarding this Migu. Now, the Gemara one is okay, fine. So there's no proof that the Amishnah is like Rimlil agreeing to Bishua, because although Bishua then agrees back to Rimlil, it's not going on the first half of the Mishnah, it's going back on the previous parak. It's going back on the concept of Migri. Concept that I argued on you, now I agree with you regarding this halach. But that the Gemara asks, ahai, regarding which concept in the previous parak, we had a few series of Mishnayos with this machlekes Rimlil and Bishua regarding do we believe her or do we believe him or do we not believe her at all. So the question is, regarding which Mishnah, which halacha was it Rabbi Shua had argued regarding that we don't believe her, even though there's a migui, that here he's agreeing regarding migui. So the Gemara says, Ilei maha, if it's going on, and the Gemara is working backwards. The Gemara is going to go with the last Mishnah. There was a series of Mishnayos. The Gemara works backwards to all the way back, actually, to the first machlokes that was presented. And ultimately, we show that that's the one that had a migui that Rabbi Shua did not believe her. And yet here, with this migui, he will believe this man telling this person that it's your father's, but it's still mine because I bought it from him. So the Gemara first starts with the last one. Ilei maha, if it's going on the Mishnah of Yud Gimel and Aleph that says, Haisimu Beres, if a woman was pregnant, a single woman, Vamula, and they said to her, Mati Vishalu Bezet, what's this fetus? Who would you conceive from? And that is, you know, maybe it was a pasla, and therefore your pasla kuna, your fetus could be pasla kuna. So in that she answers, no, don't worry, Mi'ish Plein Bekainu. That although I was single, but he's such and such a person, and he's a kohen, meaning he's a meyuchas, he's a kosher person, I'm still able to marry into kohuna. So Rimliv Rablaza Aimrim Nemenis, they say she's believed, and she can marry into kohuna. He says that we don't live on what she has to say, that we don't believe her. Now, so Rabbi Shua is arguing, saying we don't believe her, even though, what? Even though there's a migui, Mandat Gemara says you can't say that. What exact migui would there be over there? Which is a hyperbolic type of a statement of saying that her stomach is between her teeth, meaning to say that obviously she cannot say that she didn't have bia. And that's obviously an act of pretzis. And as Rabbi Shua had proved regarding the case of a woman taken in captivity, that we definitely assume that she was nevulal apostola. So, yeah, she's saying that it was a kasher. But what could she have said any better that she's saying, look, I didn't say that, I could have said that. Believe me, she had no migui because obviously she had to be with someone, she has a fetus here. So Elahor, Rav Gemara says the previous case in that Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ru'u midaber semecha. If let's say the rabbi saw that she was speaking with a certain person, Vamula, and they said to Amati Vishalazah, who's this person that you're talking to? You might have had inappropriate beer with someone that can make you possible for kuhuna. And then she says, don't worry, ish plain de bekainu. It's this and this person, and he's a kain, he's a meyuchas. So Rabbi Ramlaza Amin Nemes, they say that she's believed. Rabbi Shua, I'm a lemon pay on the kain, he says, no, we don't believe her. We don't rely on what she has to say. We'll consider that she was nivel apostle and she'll be apostle to kuhuna until she proves otherwise. Now, and that the Gemara says, they're also hasamai migu ikka. What exactly was a claim she could have said that would have been better, would have avoided the whole topic in the first place, And the fact that she's admitting she had bia, but she thinks he's kosher, so believe her. As the Gemara explains, Hanichal is, you're right. That would be a good case according to the Zairi, as we learned this machlekes in interpreting what does midaberes in that Mishnah mean. The Amar, my midaberes nistor, he says when it says in the Mishnah that they saw her talking to this man, it means that she was secluded with him. So yes, there's a migui, because migudi baya amar loy nevalti, since she could have said, oh, look, I was just secluded with the man, I was just talking with him, I didn't have be with him. Now, and still, and she says, she agrees, she admits, I did bia, but it was with a kosher. So then, mehemna, then, yes, then we should believe her. And maybe that's even what Rimlila and Rabbi Lazar are coming from. And in spite of that, Rabbi Shu is saying that, no, although there's a migui over there, which is that she could have said, I didn't have bia in the first place. And still she's saying, no, I had bia, but believe me, because I could have said a better time, I didn't have bia in the first place. So believe me that it was with a kosher. So that would be a good case to describe in what Rimlil in the first parak says, that we don't believe her with a migui. And yet in this mission, he agrees to a case of migui. But the Gemara's question is, El Ravasi d'ama mai midaberes niveles, because Ravasi, that he interprets the Mishnah over there, midaberes is just a euphemism for that they actually saw her having bia with a man. Well, then mai migui ikka. What claim could she have said better than she's saying now? We know you had bia, so now we're suspecting that it's a puzzle. You're saying it's a kasher. What better can you have said that we should have believed you based on your claim of migui, that we're saying Yeshua argues and doesn't believe her, and then in this parak he agrees that we do believe a person with a migui? Sevelaha, the Gemara goes with the earlier Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where the husband saying she's saying here meres mukaseh tzani, the wife is saying, look, I know there's no besulim, but it's not because I ever had bia with a person. It's just because there's a piece of wood that got lodged and broke the besulim. V'oimer loy, and they say no, ki ela drusus hish, that's not true. You obviously had bia with another man. Now, Rav Lazar, I mean the manis, they say that she's believed, it's not true, she didn't have bia, it was a piece of wood. Rabbi Shua says, no, we don't believe her, and we will believe the suspicion of the husband that she must have been a ba'ula, and until she proves otherwise. That the Gemara still asks, what better claim could she have said? As the Gemara explains again, that it depends on the machlekes and the interpretation of that Mishnah, that according to one, okay, that would be a good case of migui, but according to the other one, this will not be a case of migui. This is very good according to Rabbi Lazar. He says in the first parak that he explains the claims of he says, she says, what each one is claiming, which is b'mono v'loy klum, that Rabbi Lazar holds that when there's a woman that he didn't know that she was a mukas eitz, that her claim could only be a mana, because since he didn't know, he thought that she was a basula, not just that she never had bia, but that she had actual basulim. He finds out that, okay, look, even if she's claiming she never had bia with someone else, but she's still a mukas eitz. So Rabbi Lazar says the most a person could claim in that case, because he holds that the mission is going like drabanan, is to get a mana. Now, he's saying that, look, you don't get anything, because you actually were drusus ish, and therefore it's a mekach tais. Now, according to Rabbi Lazar, then yes, there's a migui, because migui di bayu amr mukas eitz ani tachtecha, she could have said a better claim. She could have said, you know what? Actually, when we got engaged, I was actually a besula. I actually had my besula. But during our engagement, there was something that happened, an action happened, and the besulim ruptured. And I became a mukas eitz when I was already married to you. And therefore, v'isla masayim, she would have gotten that type of a claim, she would have gotten 200 zuz, because that's what's called nistach v'sadeh. It's your bad mazal, because when we were engaged, I was a besula. I only lost it afterwards. Now, v'ka'amra, and yet still she says that I was a mukas eitz mi'ikara. I'm agreeing. I'm not claiming something a better claim. I could have said I became a mukas eitz when we were already engaged, and I would have gotten 200. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I was a mukas eitz beforehand, the lesla el amana, where she's only getting a mana, or at least she's claiming a mana, and he's claiming to get nothing. So then, mehemna, we could understand that migui would be a believable taina, and therefore, maybe that we should believe her for that. On that, Rabbi Shua says, no, still we don't believe her. And so therefore, we have a case of where he argues a migui, where in this Mishnah, he would say that, okay, when the guy tells him that this is your field, but I had bought it from your father, that we would believe him, that's a good case. But according to B'yechanan, that he says, what's the claim of the husband and the wife is regarding B'mesayim Amana, where she's claiming I get 200 when she says I'm a mukaseitz. Because actually, Rabbi Yochanan interprets the mission like Rabbi Meir, that says it doesn't make a difference when she became a mukaseitz, if he knew about her or not, that she always gets 200 zuz when she's a mokese, he's just like a besula gets, and he's claiming, no, you only get a mana, because he holds Rabbi Yochanan that if a person marries a woman on the assumption that she's a besula, turns out she's beula, that it's not a total mekech tais, it just goes down to a mana. Then the question is, my migu ikka, why would that be a case of migu to say Rabbi Shua that he disagrees over there? You see, he disagrees in the case of migu. What case of migu? What, she's saying she's a mukaseitz. She's asking for 200. Even if she was saying she was a mukaseitz beforehand, saying that she was a mukaseitz when they were written engaged doesn't make a difference. Both claims are a claim of 200 zuz, so she could not have said a better taina to believe her with this weaker taina. So again, where do we have a case of a migu that Rabbi Shua argues on? So the Gemara says, elaha. We had this going actually on the first of the series of machlekes that they had, which was on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, where the case of the Mishnah was Hanoisei Seisha V'Lematzei Besulim. A man marries a woman, and when he consummates the relationship, he doesn't find any besulim. Here, marries Mishra Standin Nenasti. She says, "I know, there's no besulim, but when we got engaged, I had it. Therefore, my kasuba that I deserve is 200 zuz. Actually, what happened is that v'nistach v'sadeyu is that your field got flooded." And that is to say that I actually lost it, I was violated after we were engaged, so therefore I do deserve a ksuba of 200 zuz. Voimer loy, he says, no, ela ki ela ad shalo yorastich, actually it's not true, and he's claiming this, he doesn't know for sure, but he's saying that maybe you became a ba'ula before we were engaged, and you don't deserve anything, it's a mekach tois. So they say, look, she's believed, and she gets 200 zuz. Rabbi Shua says that we don't believe her. Now, that the Gemara explains, she could have said a better claim. Yes, she's claiming 200 zuz. There's no better claim monetarily that she could have claimed. But she could have said something where instead of saying I was violated when we were engaged, she could have said there was no violation. I was in the middle of doing something when we were engaged, and that ruptured the besulim. I was a mukas eitz. Now, why would that be a better claim? Because deloy kapasla nafshe b'kohuna. When she becomes a mukas eitz, she's valid to marry a kohen, let's say, after her current husband that she's engaged, after that he dies, she's able to marry a kohen. Now, but that's not what she said. V'kamer, she said, nenasti, she said, I was violated. To kapasla nafshe b'kohuna, since she was engaged at the time where halachic kedushin, which is she's considered like an ashes ish, when she's violated, although she's permitted to her husband, that's Yisrael, after that marriage, she's actually forbidden to a kohen. Now, so therefore, that claim that she's saying is a weaker taina because it's going to make her forbidden to kahanim. And yet she could have had a better claim. Now, Mishum Hachi Kamer Mulil Demamna, that's why Mulil says that we believe her because she has a migu. I could have said a better claim. Believe me when I'm saying I was violated after engaged. I could have said I was just a mukaseitz. Because then I wouldn't have even been usher. I'm making myself at least usher to kahuna now. Now, that is Vakamer Rabbi Shul Mulil. That's what Rabbi Shul is telling Mulil in our Mishnah. And the migu of that, I'm telling you, regarding when someone tells his friend, this was your father's field, but I purchased from him, that I'm going to agree to you that although regarding that migu that we had mentioned on Daf Yud Beis, I'm a base, that I argued on you regarding the case of when she says, I could have said a better time of mukas eitz, and I didn't say, I said, Mishatani Nasti. There I argued on you and said, we don't believe her. Here in this case of the migu of Pesha Hasa, I will agree to you. Now, fine. Now we have an understanding of, even if let's say Leel was not the one agreeing in our Mishnah, which was like the questioner, but Rabbi Shua being Moida is going and referencing back what was in the first parak of Amigu that he says we don't believe her. Here when a person says Amigu, we do believe him. So the Gemara says, but let's understand that Mechti, Hai Migu v'Hai Migu, both of them are claims that I could have said a better time, a better claim. So Maishna Hai Migu v'Hai Migu, what is the difference between the Migu of Mishra Stani Nanasti that I could have said Mukaseitzani to the Mishnah over here where he's saying that, look, I could have been quiet. I didn't have to tell you this was your father's field, but I told you. So believe me when I say that I bought it from him, that it's mine. What's the difference? They're both claims that I could have said something better. Why is it any different that here Rabbi Shua says we believe him and there Rabbi Shua says we don't believe her? So that thing says, Hacha, over here in the case of our Mishnah of the field, it's what's called Ain shur shachat lefanecha. There's no, literally means, there's no slaughtered ox in front of you. Now, what that means to say, it's analogous to where if a homeowner comes home and he finds his ox slaughtered. Now, definitely, he's going to wonder who went and slaughtered, who messed with his ox. Now, in the case over here in the field, there is no such slaughtered ox that the owner should think who slaughtered. In other words, if this man would have been quiet, so no one would have said boo to him. And therefore, if it wasn't so obvious to him that he had purchased it from that father, he wouldn't have told him, he wouldn't open up his mouth and said it was your father's, because no one would know otherwise. So definitely we would say amigo and believe him over there. But Hassam, over there on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, when the husband wakes up and he comes to Bez the next morning, he says, I didn't find Besulim. Harishur shachal lefanecha. And there's already something awry over here. He didn't find Besulim. That's what moved him and provoked him to come to Besit. Now, although yes, she definitely has a better claim that she could have made that she's making now. Still, Rishur says we don't hold over that migrei, and the reason is for two reasons. Either because maybe she didn't entertain to say a better claim, maybe she would have said that, but she's lying. The fact that she didn't say that is because she didn't think of that. So because she didn't say a better claim, we should believe her in the lie that she's saying now. Or moreover, Rashi says, that maybe it's actually a trick. She is lying. Now, she doesn't have Besulim, and really she didn't have the Besulim even when they got engaged. But how does she do a trick? She says, look, I want them to believe me. Now, but it's a he says, she says. And how am I going to get to remove money from him? I'll say a weaker claim, and then they'll believe me because migui, I could have said a better claim. Oh, and the fact that I didn't, obviously I'm saying the truth. No, Rabbi Shu says, there's no such truth. And therefore, since we already have suspicion before she says anything, for the fact that there's no Bistulim, and that's what makes him to start the court case, it's a shar shachad, there's something awry over here, so then we don't believe that she could have said a better claim. But in the case of our Mishnah, of our Pesha Aser, that's a beautiful migui, because if he wouldn't have said anything, no one would have suspected anything. There was no what's called shar shachat. And the fact that he is saying, that's definitely a strong migui that we should believe him to say that he had purchased it from the father, that he's the one that told us in the first place that it was this person's father that had originally owned the field. Now the Gemara goes back to explaining our Mishnah, which we had explained in the Gemara, where why the questioner had assumed in the first place that the Mishnah should not be the Gamliel. So we said that, although, of course, the Gamliel there was only by Bari B'Shem, and this Mishnah is Bari U'Bari, so why would we think that we would believe her? So he said, because the majority of women are Besulis. Majority are Besulis, and she's saying she's a Besula, and he's saying that, no, you were an Almana. So it's the equivalent of like her being a definite claim and him being a weaker claim like a Shema, and that's why we thought that it would not be like Rim Lil, because Rim Lil holds by Bar Vishema, and she has a Cheskes Guf, that she was a Besula, that we do believe her. Now the Gemara asks, if that's the case, Vakivin the Reb Nashim Besulis Nisa, since you're right, the majority of women that got married are Besulis, so then the halacha of the Mishnah is difficult. So Kili also, Eidem Mayhabas, so what's the reason then actually? Why did the Mishnah say that until we have witnesses that come along and say that we know there were certain phenomena that happened at the wedding, which indicate that she was a Besula, so we won't believe her, but why not? Besides the fact that she has a Cheskes Aguf, we have a majority saying that she's right, that she was a Besula. So we know by a Maman Halchanach Arayiv, so we should go after the majority that she was a Besula, and she should be able to collect 200 Zuz, not like he's claiming, which the Mishnah seems to say that the Halach will be like him, that it's only a Mana, 100 Zuz, until there are Eden that prove otherwise. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, because Mishum De'ikala Meimar, because you're right. We could say Rav Nashim Besulisness. You're right, there's a majority of women that get married as Besulis. But Amir Amanis, there's also a minority that get married as widows. Now, moreover, V'chalanisis Besula Yesh L'Koyl. Every woman that gets married as a Besula, so everybody knows how she was. She came out with Hinuma. There's a major procession that happens in contrast of a woman that's a Besula versus a woman that's a widow. Now, so therefore the Gemara continues, Amad Be'ez, Bezu Hoyle Be'ein Lekel. Now this woman, that no one's coming forth and testifying that she came out with Hinuma. And that's what we're saying. If there's no witnesses, then we believe him. So since there's no Kail, it's Isla Ruba. So that Raiv, the majority of yes, the majority of Besula is, but if you were really Besula, we would have had 20, 50 people, everyone that was at the wedding would have said, of course she came Behinuma, but no one's remembering that. If no one's coming forth, so that detracts from your Raiv, and that's why the Raiv won't be able to help you to be able to collect the ksuba of 200 Zuz from your husband. But then the Gemara asks, then actually the question is in the reverse. Ikola Nisis Besula Yesh L'Kol. If it's like you said, that every woman that gets married as a Besula, so everybody knows about it. Look, I mean, you could just look. Anyone that was invited to the wedding would know. Then actually, ki asa edim ahava. So why does it help the other way around? The Mishnah said that if there's witnesses that say that she was a Besula, well, then that's going to work. She's going to have to collect a ksuba of 200. But since there's a chazaka, that there's a koil that everybody would know, and it's not everybody coming rushing, there's just a pair of witnesses come, And if you asked on the street, no one would know, then obviously, what do you mean? Obviously that they're liars, because there's no koil about it. And that's why we said that it's Isla Ruba, because if there was a koil, then just based on Rav without aid, then we would believe her. Now, so we're saying that there is no koil. If there's no koil, so why does witnesses help? There's a chazaka, it's like everybody screaming, basically, that these two witnesses are liars because there is no koil. So that the Gemara says, no, Ela Amar Ravina, rather Ravina says, it's Rav HaNisses Besula Yesh L'Koil. The majority of women that get married as a Besula have a koil that everybody knows about it. Now, Bezu, Hoyal Ve'en L'Koil, now this woman that doesn't have a koil, Isser LaRuba, so that detracts from the Rav. In other words, the majority saying that she's a Besula, which we said should work for her, even without Adam. And that we said that, and that the way we're amending it right now, but there's another majority that runs counter to that and says that, yeah, if you were really a Besula, then most of the women that get married as a Besula have a koil, and you don't have a koil. So that detracts from that Rav. And that if there's Adam, then Adam could resolve that contradiction of Rav. If it was koil, if it was every woman that gets married as a Besula has a koil, so that koil would be saying that they're lying, because it can't be their Besula because there's no koil. And now we say that's only majority that have a koil. Majority, fine. But the majority says she's a Besula too, so they're contradicting, they knock each other out, and then the Edom could come and verify and say that she really was a Besula because of all these different phenomena that happened by a Besula. Now the Gemara goes through now, as the Mishnah had said, different things that the witnesses could testify, saying we were at the wedding, we saw these things, and obviously she's a Besula, so she gets a ksuba of 200 zuz. So one of them, the Gemara, the Mishnah said that yesh edim sheyatzah behinuma b'chul, if there are witnesses that she went out behinuma, then that's something that happens only by the wedding of Besula. So then she gets a ksuba of 200 zuz. Now, before the Gemara even explains what behinuma is, the Gemara asks, whatever this phenomena is that yatzah behinuma is, but there seems to be a problem over here, because v'leichesh, we should be concerned, dilma mafke edim, maybe this woman is coming, and she'll bring witnesses that she went out behinuma. So she's going to go ahead and collect b'hai beidin of agavi. She's going to bring these witnesses to this court and collect 200 zuz because that witness is verifying that she was a basula. Then v'hadir mafki lo l'ksuba b'hai bezdin v'gavi aba. Then she'll go to a different court with the ksuba that she really does have. She said, look, it's lost. They were arguing about, so how much does she get? Because the document's not there. He said 100, she said 200. She brings witnesses that she went up behinuma, so she gets 200, she gets the ksuba. Then she really still has the ksuba. She's then going to go to a different court and say, look, I have a document. And Bezdin say, look, you have a document. He's going to say, well, I paid, is it? No, you have a document. So Amar Bavar, Bavar says, Zaysim Eres, obviously what you can conclude from our Mishnah, that we do collect based on the testimony of witnesses, that Kaisvin Shaver, obviously, that when he pays up the ksuba, yes, when there's witnesses that she was being numa, so he has to be 200, but she writes for him a document saying that I received the payment of the ksuba, and that he holds on to as a receipt to show that he paid up, and she can't come and another bezin and bring a ksuba, because he says, look, the last time you lied and made believe you didn't have a ksuba, and I paid it, and here's my receipt, and he could show it to any bezin, and they can verify that this ksuba she can't collect with. Now, What Rebbe Vo is proving from this is that, not like the one who says in Baba Basra, that we do not write a receipt for the ksuba that was given, but rather that obviously we do write a shaver, because if we didn't, then actually this would be a concern. How could we collect with Eide Hinuma? Because then she could go ahead and collect with the document afterwards. Now our Papa Amar, he says, no, the truth is that generally the halach is actually that you do not write a receipt. And the reason why we wouldn't write a receipt is because then the liability is on the husband, that he always has to make sure to protect it from the elements, from mice. And actually, if anyone has a document, like in this case of a ksuba on his friend, the halacha is, look, either bring the document and then we'll give it back to you, or you don't collect anything. Now, but our Mishnah is, b'makom she'en kaisim ksuba askin, our Mishnah is told about a place where they do not write a ksuba. Rather, they rely on the Tanai Bezdin, which is that a woman that's a Basula gets 200 and a mana gets a mana, where there's no concern of maybe that later on she'll go ahead and collect with the Ksuba, because there is no Ksuba. It's not a place where they don't write Ksubas. That's why, with just the verification of witnesses, she could collect. But Rav Papa says, of course, if it was a place that wrote a Ksuba, we won't let her collect just with witnesses' verification, because you need the document. And the document will tell us if you were a Ksuba or not. It'll say how much the Ksuba was. Because if we let you collect with witnesses, you might come ahead and at a later time collect with the ksuba, because we do not write generally a shaver. We do not write a receipt. And here it's not a concern, because it's not in a place where there's any way of documentation of the ksuba. Vigadim asnla, now those that have this machlekes a Ravon or a Papa, not actually on our Mishnah, but rather a Braisa, on the Braisa. The Braisa says a similar type of a case, where Ibdik Ksubasa, either that the woman lost her Ksuba or Hitmina Ksubasa, she concealed her Ksuba, now she can't find it anymore, or Nisraf her Ksubasa, or her Ksuba was burnt. Now, so she's claiming 200, and he's saying, no, it's not true. When we got married, you were Almana. If you would look in the Ksuba, which you lost, now we can't verify it like that, but I'm telling you, you were Almana, you only get Almana. Now, the Braisa says, if there are witnesses that can verify that Rokdu Lefaneha, that in the day of her wedding, that people were dancing in front of her, or Sichaku Lefaneha, they were acting in jest in front of her, or Haviru Lefaneha, Kishal B'sur, or they passed in front of her the cup of good tidings, which they say tidings about her that she has signs of besulais, which later on the Gemara will explain exactly what does that cup of wine say about that she's a besula, or a mapesh al besulim, or the witnesses say that there was the cloth that verified that she had besulim. So if she has witnesses to verify any of these phenomena, then she gets a ksuba 200, because obviously these were things that are done for besula and not for an almana. And therefore the Braisa says that will be used for her, even though she's no ksuba, to be able to collect the ksuba of a besula. Now that the question is, maybe she's going to produce edim in one court and say, look, both of you say testimony. By my wedding, were they dancing in front of me? Were they jesting? Did they give me this cup? And they say yes. So she'll collect her ksuba. And then she'll really have the real document, which she had been hiding up until now. And then she'll come to a different court and say, here's my document. The document is like to edim. You have to pay up. Because why would I be doing holding the ksuba if you had paid me already? And he's going to say, what? I paid another one. Doesn't make a difference because the document is a document. So Amr Bavar says, so Zay Samaris, you could conclude from this price that Kaisman Shaver, obviously that we write a receipt for him. So he's going to say, look, great, you have a ksuba? Fine. But you had made believe you didn't have it, and I paid you. And now here's my receipt. This Bezdin has signed that I already paid her ksuba. Now, Rav Papa Amr, he says, no. But there's no proof that we generally write receipts. But Makim Shein Kaisman Ksuba Askin, it's told about in a place where they do not write a ksuba. And that's why we don't have a concern that maybe she'll pull out in the next court her ksuba, because there is no ksuba, and that's why we could collect based on witnesses' testimony. Now, but the question on Rav Papa's interpretation in the Braisa is how could he say talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba, and that's why we're not concerned even without a receipt. But va'iv de ksuba sagatani, but the Braisa says she lost her ksuba, therefore she doesn't have it, and now they're arguing about it, and she brings witnesses to verify she was a basula. So how can you say that it's a place where they don't write a ksuba if it says she lost her ksuba? So that the Gemara answers, that's not a contradiction, because the kasav li'ihu, although the minig ha-mokum was not to write, he actually wrote a ksuba. That's why she has a ksuba. So the Gemara says, okay. So if he ended up writing, save, mafkul of a gavi, but then we should be concerned that if he wrote her ksuba, then maybe she'll lie and make believe she doesn't have the ksuba. She'll collect based on witnesses' testimony, and then she'll go somewhere else and collect with the actual document. So the Gemara answers, no. The reason why we're not concerned that she really has it, she's just hiding it, and she'll collect it within a different business, because my ivda, what does it mean that it got lost? It means ivda bu'ur. It got lost in the fire. So therefore, if she's saying that it got burnt, so there's no concern that it might actually still be around and collect within a different court. But I think we're going to ask a few questions on this interpretation of the Braisa to resolve Rav Papa's interpretation. Because ihachi haine nisafa, then that's the same as the other case the Braisa talks about, when it gets burnt. Lost in the fire is burnt. V'aid, moreover, hitamina ma'ekalamema, what do you mean to say in the case when she concealed it, where that wasn't lost in the fire or burnt, where then we have to be concerned that maybe she will find it and bring it and collect another time. Vesu, moreover, if the lamali, what do we need the case of being lost? Now, where Taisa says, although that sounds like the previous question of that's the same as being burnt, Taisa says you could say what the Gemara is asking is that even if you say that the explanation of lost means that it was burnt, but still, why do you need the case of lost? What is that coming to teach us? So be that as it may, the Gemara says, right, those are questions. Ella, rather, this is what the Braisa is saying that will not contradict Rav Papa's interpretation. Kol ivda, wherever she claims that the document of her ksuba was lost, then it's like the case of kihit midna. So this is definitely amending how we are understanding the Braisa. It's really one long case, meaning when, it's not really three different cases as it sounds like up until now. It's one case. When she claims it's lost, then it's like kihit midna. It's like when she concealed her ksuba b'faneinu dam, in front of us. In other words, that as if we know that she's hiding it somewhere, so that she should be able to go ahead and collect with it a second time. And therefore, v'lo yavina lo, we do not give her what she's claiming unless she brings the document of the ksuba. Now, if she says it was burnt, and therefore she says, I can't bring it, then adi amri eidim nisrafo ksuba, so then until she brings witnesses that say that it was burnt, only then could she go ahead and collect the ksuba, because now there's no concern anymore. Because now she's not going to go ahead and collect the ksuba, because there are witnesses that verify that it was burnt. Then she brings witnesses that they were dancing in front of her, which is one of the signs of basula, and then she could collect 200 zuz, because there's no concern. So really, the three cases is one case. She says it was lost, we look at it like she's really hiding it. And however, but when will we believe her to collect with the two witnesses is when there are witnesses that verify that it was already burnt, where we don't have a concern that she'll go ahead and collect it another time. So that makes sense, like Rav Papa, where he was saying that it's told about in a place where they do not write a ksuba, or even if they do write a ksuba, or that he wrote a ksuba, but we're not concerned she's going to go ahead and collect it another time because there's no ksuba here to collect the second time anyway. So as long as she brings witnesses that she was a basula when she got married, she'll collect 200 zuz. Now that the Gemara concludes and says that man de masnila, the one that learns the version of the machlekes Rav Avoh and Rav Papa, a braisa, on the braisa, well then kol shekein amasnit, they would most definitely learn that same machlekes in the interpretation of our Mishnah, where since by the braisa, where it said explicitly, seemingly at least, the way you literally translate the braisa, that if her ksuba gets lost, she could still collect with the witnesses. And of that, Rav Papa said, no, actually, she could not collect if it got lost. Because he interprets the braisa as saying one long case. That actually when it gets lost, it's like really that it was hidden. And it's only when she has witnesses that it got burnt that she could collect. But really, he said, not like Rav Avoh, that you do not write a receipt. Well, the most definitely you could learn their machlekes on the Mishnah, where you could say their machlekes are Papa and Rav Avoh, to say that it's only in the place where they do not write a ksuba. That's where Rav Papa says our Mishnah was saying it, we could believe her based on two witnesses. Because if it's that they do write a ksuba, then we actually would not believe her, because she might go ahead and bring the document in a different court. Now, however, man de masnila, but the one that learns the machlekes Rav Papa and Rav Avoh, amasnit, in the first version, that learns it on our Mishnah, avla braisaloi. But they would not learn that machlekes on the case of the braisa, because there it seems clearly, like Rav Avoh, that you write a receipt, because it must be talking about a place that they write a ksuba. Kikushya, like the question that we had, where it says clearly, if the ksuba, so that she lost her ksuba. So obviously they write a ksuba. And if they write a ksuba, and yet still we're collecting with two edim, then we should be concerned that maybe that she's going to collect with the document in another court. Now Rav Papa, in our Mishnah, answered, it's talking about a place where they don't write. But here you can't say that, because it says, she, of course, that we write it, because she had the ksuba that she lost. Now, the version that learns on the Mishnah doesn't want to learn such a what's called a deichik teretz, which is a pretty contrived answer to say that it's really not three cases, which it definitely sounds like that, but rather that when it gets lost, it's like hitmin, it's like they hit it, which is that we do not believe her because we're concerned that she's scheming and plotting and hiding it to collect another time. So therefore, that first version only learns on the Mishnah, but not on the Braisa, because there it would seem clearly that the case of the Braisa would hold that it's talking about that definitely we write a receipt, because it cannot be told about that you don't write a ksuba, because obviously that the ksuba was lost. Now, the Gemara continues explaining, although it quotes from the Mishnah, it's a continuation of Rav Papa's opinion, where the Mishnah said, "Miyesh edim achulu, if there's witnesses that she went up behinuma, she collects a ksuba of 200 zuz." Now that the Gemara asks a different type of a question. Although up until now we asked that, okay, if she's collecting with two witnesses, then she might go ahead and collect with the document itself, because she made believe it was lost. So we answered either that, okay, there's a receipt written like Rav Avoh said, or like Rav Papa said, it's talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba, so we don't have the concern. But the Gemara says, but let be concerned. According to Rav Papa, that we do not write a receipt, she'll bring witnesses in one court and collect. Then she'll come to another court and bring witnesses that I was a basula. Now, that's difficult according to Rav Papa, because he has no receipt to prove, yes, you're right, I agree she's a basula. And she did this to me already once, twice, three times, that she went to court and said that she's a basula. Now I have no way of proving that I ever paid it, because we don't write a receipt according to Rav Papa. So according to that, if there's a ksuba that you have to collect with a document, so once she loses it, because it's the first time he pays her, he gets the document, now she has nothing to claim with. But if you say she doesn't need the ksuba itself, she could claim with witnesses, then she could do it again and again and again. On that, the Gemara answers, you're right. But makom d'leyafsh, in a place where it's not possible, for example, in a place where they do not write a ksuba, and they collect based on witnesses' testimony, then definitely you have to have that concern that she's going to go to another bezdin and bring witnesses again and collect a second time. Then, of course, the Rav would agree that avada kazvina sheva, of course, you'd write a sheva. Because if there's no ksuba that's written, then definitely how does she get her claim with witnesses? Then she could do it again and again unless there's a receipt written. So the Rav would agree that a receipt would be written in such a situation where there's no other way to protect the husband. Now we said that one of the simanim that the Braisa said that she's a besula is hevir lefnei kishal besurif. There's witnesses that verify that they have passed a cup of good tidings in front of her. Obviously she's a besula. So the Gemara asks, my kishal besur, what does this case of besura mean? So Mabad Barava, it was a kais yain shel truma mavir lefnei. By a besula, they would pass a cup of wine, of truma wine, in front of her. Kolayma, what is that an omen for? To so to speak, saying that ru'uya ha'isizu lechel betruma, that this woman was fit to consume truma. In other words, if she would get married to a kayin, we're saying that she's a full-fledged besula and not a be'ula, meaning that she never had an illicit relationship, she never had an act of znus with another man to say that she'd be pasul to kahuna. She never had an act of znus with another man. She's still a besula, and therefore she'd be fit to marry a kayin, which would make her fit to have truma. And that's a sign that she's obviously a besula. On that maskevah of Papa, Papa asks on that interpretation of this case of Shabbasura, what type of a testimony is this? What do you mean? Who said that if they would pass such a case of Shaltruma, which is just saying that she's fit to have Truma, that she's not an Amana? Atu, do you think that if she would get married as an Amana to a Kohen Hedjit, Mila Achle B'Truma, wouldn't she eat Truma? An Amana is permitted to get married to a Kohen Hedjit, and she's also fit to have Truma. So how is passing a cup of wine, saying that she's fit to have a cup of truma, a sign that she's a basula, not an amona? So Elamar of Papa, rather Papa says that what the omen is saying that Zu, this woman's bia, her cohabitation, is racious. Tonight is the first time. Kitruma racious, like truma that's the first time, meaning it's considered a racious. Truma is called racious entire. It's the first tithe, it's the first that's taken off. So therefore, that's what we're symbolizing with the truma, to say that just like truma is the first, so too this woman is the first, which obviously she's a besula and not a lamona. Now, Tanya the Brayis, Rabbi Yudaim, he says a slightly different minhag. Chavish al yain mavirin lefnel. They would pass a barrel of wine in front of her. Now, Amar Vad Bahava, he says that besula mavirin lefnel stuma. If she was a besula, which is that her besula was still closed, then they would pass a closed barrel. Be'ula mavin lefnei pesuach. If she was a be'ula, that she is already pesuach, then they would pass an open barrel in front of her to symbolize if she's a besula or be'ula. So the Gemara wonders, amai, why? Navar kame besula, let's just pass the closed barrel in front of the besula. V'kame be'ula, le navar klal, we have to embarrass her. Why do you, just don't pass any in front of her, and then we'll know that she's not a besula. The Gemara says, no, because zimnin did tafs mesayim. Sometimes you'll have a situation where a woman collecting her ksuba will grab from her husband's estate 200 zuz without bezdin. Now, when we want to take it away from us, saying that, no, you weren't the besula, you're a mana, because there were no witnesses that saw them passing the closed barrel in front of you, she'll say, no, it's not true, besula havia. Actually, when I got married, I was a besula. Now, the haidilu avu kamali, this that they didn't pass the barrel in front of me, you want to prove from the fact that it didn't happen, that it wasn't a besula, it's not true. It's nusi hudas nisu. Actually, what happened was that everybody got drunk by my wedding. And because they were so drunk, they got intoxicated, they, due to no fault of my own, they weren't able to pass the barrel in front of me because everyone was out of commission. Therefore, that's why that the Rav Adabrahava says that now they pass an open barrel. So now she has no more claim anymore. She can't say anything because if they pass an open barrel, that is an obvious sign, an active sign that she is a ba'ula. Because if they didn't pass anything, she could have said, look, I was really basula, but they just didn't get around to doing it, and therefore she would hold on to the money, claiming that she's a basula. That's why we do specifically the chavis pasucha, to show that no, that she is a ba'ula, and she cannot claim that she was a basula to collect 200 zuz.